From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. The Mayo Clinic reports that around 45% of Americans say they are either very or somewhat likely to donate a kidney to someone they've never met. That's up from 24% back in 2001. Coming up, we're going to hear from a local woman who did just that. About 90,000 people in the U.S. are currently waiting for a kidney, not to mention scores of others who are waiting for a different organ. Most living donors give either a kidney or a small portion of their liver. Maybe you've done this. Have you been a living donor? Would you ever donate an organ to a stranger? We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. As we were talking about this segment, we all pulled our driver's license to show whether we had the heart on it or not, which is the symbol you can put on your driver's license should there be an accident that can immediately identify you as a potential donor. We're at 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. And we wanted to talk to Marisa Turner, who came to the studio, kind enough to stop by. She's transplant coordinator at the Virginia Mason Transplant Program. Are there enough kidneys being donated, Marisa?
No, unfortunately not. I mean, I think the focus of transplant centers across the nation is to increase patient access to transplant. The number of patients waiting on the transplant waiting list is increasing every year, so demand continues to increase, but the supply remains about the same.
Are people dying on that list waiting for a kidney?
Yes. Unfortunately, I mean, I don't have the numbers as far as how many patients die a year, but yes, definitely the case.
If someone wants to donate a kidney, what's the first step they take?
That would be, well, if you were donating to a loved one, you would identify the transplant center that they have been listed at, contact that transplant center, and begin the process that way.
How hard is it to find a match for a kidney for someone?
Finding a match, well, what you're looking for is somebody who is blood type compatible.
Mm-hmm. So first of all, it's got to be the same blood type.
Not necessarily the same blood type, okay. But people who are blood type compatible. So okay. For example, somebody who's blood group O would be considered a universal donor, mm-hmm. and can donate to any of the blood groups.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're looking for somebody who's blood type compatible, also a pretty healthy donor. We do a very thorough medical and psychosocial screening of all potential donors. And then the other thing that you're looking for to be compatible is a cross-match blood test, which is essentially where you take the donor's cells and put it with the recipient's blood to see if there's any kind of a reaction that would indicate rejection.
So you have to meet both of those qualifications to be an eligible donor to someone.
Yes, yes.
We're talking today about the experience of donating an organ to someone, a kidney, and sometimes a small portion of a liver. We're at 206-543-5869. Maybe you've done that. In your experience, how often does someone get a donation from a stranger, a living donor, just giving someone because they think someone should have what they have?
Well, we definitely receive a number of calls for that interest throughout the year. But I'd say nationally, you know, the numbers show that it's about 160 what we call non-directed or anonymous living kidney donors in the nation.
Are most of the kidneys that are donated, do they come from people who are deceased who maybe had that heart on their driver's license, or are they coming from living donors?
The majority of kidneys are coming from deceased donors. So it's I think about a third. Oh, it's almost half, actually. So about 6,000 last year out of 11,000 kidney transplants were from living donors.
So I guess there's a couple of ways you could improve those numbers. One is getting more people to think about doing it as living donors, and another is getting more people to get that heart on the driver's license so they know that their kidneys will go somewhere should that event take place.
Absolutely. So raising awareness both for deceased donation by, you know, doing outreach at DMV or high schools or, you know, advertising on city buses for deceased donor transplant, but also for living donation.
Marisa Turner is with me. She's transplant coordinator at the Virginia Mason Transplant Program. Now, this Mayo Clinic survey, it really caught our eye. Said that in the abstract, more people say they would make a kidney donation, many more, than they were willing to do, say, 12 years ago, according to the survey. Are the number of voluntary kidney donations to strangers on the rise? You mentioned you have quite a few, but are there more people doing that year after year?
Yes. I mean, national data would show that it is increasing over the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years. The numbers are definitely increasing with 160 in the U.S.
So you must talk to a lot of these folks who come in and say, I want to donate a kidney to someone.
Yes.
And besides their obvious generosity to like do something like that in the first place, are there any kind of common characteristics among them?
What we're often seeing is people who have a pattern of giving throughout their life. So they're often blood donors, bone marrow donors, have volunteered through their church or have done other selfless type of acts in that way.
Well, along with kidney donation, partial liver donation is another option for living donors. And on the line, we have to talk about that, Dr. Marcus Hart. He's done partial liver transplants in San Diego. Currently, he's a transplant surgeon and medical director of the transplant program at Swedish Medical Center. Dr. Hart, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, certainly.
Are you also having people who are dying before they could get a partial liver donor?
Well, we are. You know, patients with end-stage organ disease have a number of comorbidities and have a risk of dying while waiting for the transplant. You know, for kidney patients, death on the during dialysis is somewhere between 10 and 15% per year, so that's significant. And patients waiting for liver transplantation, even while they're on the list, approximately 10% of those patients pass each year for various reasons. So the issue that we're discussing today is very important to try to reduce the not only just the number of people dying before they can be transplanted, but also to get them transplanted as soon as possible, because the longer you are without organ function or with poor organ function, the more likely you're going to have some negative consequence.
Dr. Hart, how big a deal is it to donate part of your liver to someone?
Well, it is a big deal. Donating part of your liver from an adult to a child is a smaller operation than donating your liver, part of your liver, to another adult because of the sheer mass of liver that's required to restore organ function. So if a parent donating to a child, you can take a small segment of the left portion of the liver and donate that and give that to a child and restore organ function. If you're going to do this, donating a portion of your liver to save an adult's life, it requires us to take a little bit more than half of the donor's liver. So it requires an extensive medical and psychosocial evaluation prior to embarking on that.
What's the impact if you donate half your liver, assuming that you're a healthy person going into it? Will you live a normal life afterwards? Will you be inhibited in any way?
You'll still live a normal life afterwards. The liver has a potential to regenerate. It's one of the few organs in the body that will regenerate. So after the portion of liver is removed, the liver will regenerate back to its full size. But there is risk to donating a portion of your liver. There is a risk of having a complication, and there have been deaths that have occurred after living donor liver donation.
Finally, Dr. Hart, is what you notice in tune with what the Mayo Clinic is reporting, that there are many more people who say that they're willing to voluntarily donate to a stranger? Are you seeing that when it comes to liver transplants?
We are seeing that mostly in kidney transplantation. We don't see that as commonly in potential donors for liver transplantation because of the increased risk that is associated with donating a portion of the liver.
The liver is a more difficult transplant to do.
Yes, and most of those donors are people that have a very strong relationship with the potential recipient.
Dr. Marcus Hart, thank you so much for joining us today. Dr. Marcus Hart is a transplant surgeon, medical director at the transplant program at Swedish Medical Center. We've got on the line Eric, who's calling from Renton. And Eric, understand you are on a waiting list for a kidney? Let's see if we can... We have Mary on the line. I'm sorry. And you donated a kidney, Mary?
I did.
And tell me, did you donate to someone that you knew?
No.
Why did you decide to do that?
Because there's a huge need for it. And I have an extra one, and I don't need them both.
How was the procedure for you? What'd you go through to donate that kidney?
Well, there's an extensive testing period, psychological and medical and, physical testing. And beyond that, it's, just making sure that I feel comfortable with the decision that that I'm comfortable with my family's thoughts on it and And beyond that, it was really easy. It was one of the easiest things I've done and a very easy decision for me.
Did you meet the person ahead of time?
No.
So no contact with this person?
No, I have not had contact with this person.
Amy, thanks a lot for telling us about your experience, and thanks you for doing that.
And I want to thank Swedish Medical Center. They're wonderful.
They help facilitate this for you. Mary, thanks a lot for your phone call. Let's go to Eric now. Eric, on the other side of this equation, you're waiting on a kidney, Eric?
I am, yes.
And you're 20 years old?
So I'm 28, and I've been on the list for approximately 1,000 days, and so it's about 3 years at this point. And for my blood type, I've been told that it's about a 4 to 6 year wait. I'm an O, which means that I can give to anybody, but I can only accept the O. And actually, I have a question because I'm doing all the work up through Swedish, and for the representative that's at Virginia Mason, I'm just a little surprised by some of the statistics that I'm hearing. I think you just said 45% of people would anonymously donate to a stranger. And I've just been told that anonymous donors are not all too common. And so I just didn't know where that information was coming from and if there's an area of the United States that's more concentrated.
Well, I want to correct that. That's not something that Maritza Turner said. That's a report that I was quoting from the Mayo Clinic. It didn't say that people were doing it. It said that a lot more said they were either very or somewhat likely to do it. So that's one thing about saying it, another thing about actually doing it. But Maritza Turner, with the Virginia Mason Transplant Program, you are actually seeing more people just coming forward, you said, right?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing a number of people come forward and express interest. Now, does that mean that they end up donating? Not necessarily for a number of reasons, medical and psychosocial.
How are you feeling, Eric?
I feel good. I've been on dialysis for approximately 4 years. I work full-time. It's obviously very, very challenging to do the dialysis treatments 4 days a week for 4 hours. But, you know, I'm getting through, and I'm just really crossing my fingers that I'll receive one soon. So,
well, I hope so, Eric. Thanks a lot for calling in and telling us about your experience. Let's go to another person who's been directly involved in this. Liz Apostolis donated one of her kidneys to a complete stranger. Liz, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. Tell us a little bit about what you did.
Well, I just decided to do it one day, and I called up the UW Medical Center. And
Wait a minute. You just decided to do this one day. You got up in the morning, drank your coffee, and said, I'm going to donate a kidney?
Kind of.
Really?
Well, I'd always been an organ donor. And, you know, it's funny what you'd said about being other types of donors. I donated blood from the time I was in high school. When I was in high school, I registered the bone marrow registry. But I'd never really done a whole lot. But I had also heard that the recovery from kidney donation took 6+ weeks, and I was never in a position to be able to take that much time off of work. But I was going back to school, and I just decided to get on my computer one day and see if I had to have health insurance to do it. And I found that UW didn't make you have health insurance, so I called them up, and I did the screening, and I did it on a break and from school, and I went back to school 2 weeks later. And it was fine.
Were the costs of your it's a surgical procedure, so you didn't have to bear any of the costs of it. This was paid for you to go do this.
That's correct. The recipient's health insurance pays for the cost of everything.
And did you ever meet the person who you donated your kidney to?
No.
Is that generally discouraged, Maritza? Contact between the donor and the person who gets the organ?
Before the transplant, it's definitely discouraged. I'd say most transplant centers don't have the donor and recipient meet before surgery. After the surgery, it's completely at their discretion. We can connect them. Sometimes recipients want to even send a thank you card or something to the family or the person that donated. And I wouldn't say that it's discouraged. It's just up to them.
Eliza Postalis, you must get asked about this all the time. People say, well, what should I know if this is something I'm thinking of? What's the advice that you give to people if they're considering doing what you did?
I'd say just do it. I mean, that's my basic advice. It's a long process getting the screenings done. And I was lucky that I was in school, so I did have the flexible time to do that. But it's just not as bad as you'd think. I mean, even my scar from removing a freckle is bigger than my scars from removing a kidney. So it's not that bad. And it makes you, I mean, I wouldn't say that I feel great for doing it, but I feel like if I can help someone have a better life, then I feel like it's my obligation as a human being.
Do you wish the recipient had contacted you?
I'd be lying if I said no. it would have been nice. I have questions. I was able to find out that she did survive the transplant, which sometimes isn't the case. So I know she's healthy, and that's good. That makes me happy. But, and I do have questions about how it went and everything for her. She had a much easier process than I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand. You know, I've heard from people who were the recipients of organs, and they say, you know, what do you say to your recipient or to your donor? And I wouldn't know what to say either. So I understand.
Hey, Liz, thanks for telling us about your experience. It sounds like it's not particularly common that the donor will meet the recipient, but it does happen sometimes, Marisa.
It does. I can only speak to our experience at Virginia Mason. And so, yeah, we do, and we facilitate that kind of contact. But for all sorts of reasons, just like she was saying, potentially the recipient might want to disconnect, or donor doesn't want to meet the recipient. They don't know what to say. How do you really thank somebody for that kind of a gift?
Sure. I mean, unimaginable how to thank someone for literally the gift of life. And will the donor always know how the operation went, or is that sometimes kept confidential too? Will they know that their kidney donation made a difference in someone's life?
That's a transplant center policy situation. So it's determined at the transplant center that you're at whether you can share that kind of information. Generally, most information is kept very confidential and separate.
Sure, it's private medical information. What do you do at Virginia Mason? Do you share that information if someone donates a kidney to you? Do you tell them how the operation went?
Generally, yes. We'll just say that they've come out of the transplant and the organ is working, let's say.
Thank you so much for coming down, Marisa Turner. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Marisa Turner, transplant coordinator at the Virginia Mason Transplant Program, where I'm sure they have a lot more information for you if you'd like to find out more about this topic. David Hyde produces our program with Arwen Nix. We get production help from Hannah Byrne and Cameron Drews, Andy Hurst and Amber Cortez. Bernard Ouellette is the engineer. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.